Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Wednesday edition of Locked On Rams. I'm back. I'm here for a day. One episode week this week, and I apologize about that. But again, been traveling a little bit. Just got back from Arizona. Big shout out to the boys from Aloha Salsa. We're down in Mesa, Arizona. My old friends entered a salsa competition. They needed some help. So me and some old friends went running, helped them out. Another shout out to Abel Lopez. He was helping me find all the best taco places around the Arizona location. Listener of Locked On Rams hit me up and said, what are you doing in Arizona, man? If we had a chance, we would have met up for a beer, but I was super busy. But thanks for sending us in the right direction. We had some amazing food down there. But it was a blast. I'm back. I got today to record. Tomorrow we're heading out for the viewing and a funeral. So I'll be busy with those events, doing some family things. But I will be back strong next week. In fact, I think we're even going to try to do a 5-episode week, as we've got draft week. I'm really excited about all that's going on in draft week. And since it's been kind of a slow week for me, I really want to encourage you guys to go check out Locked On NFL. We are doing a really cool thing over there, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show as well. We did all of the Locked On local hosts, did a mock draft. We talked through being in the war room, what we thought our needs were, what we thought was going to be important, who was on the board, basically walk through the mock draft and selection. So what Locked On NFL is doing right now is they're doing a 5-segment show this week where they break down all of the picks. They've got some awesome people from our draft network. We've got Matt Williamson of Locked On NFL and Brian Peacock from Locked On 49ers hosting it, kicking it around the NFL, going into the war rooms, coming back, breaking it down. And since two teams from our division have the top two picks, I figured I'd give you a little taste of that episode, a little teaser to kind of bring you in, give you an idea of what that's going to be like all week. But if you haven't checked out, I highly recommend it. I've listened just to the first 2 days. They will release the third day tomorrow. And so far, they've been awesome. It's fun going around and listening to all the Locked On Network guys and talking about what they see fit for their teams. These guys are talking just like me on a regular basis about it. So getting inside their vision of the war room and how it goes has been awesome so far. Also, make sure you guys can check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and my new favorite app, Himalaya. You can download that to stream all your favorite podcasts, including any of the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's NBA playoff time. If you guys are not listening to Locked On Clippers, even if you're a fan or not, those guys are awesome. They just talked the other day about the biggest comeback in NBA playoff history. 31 points, I believe it was, for the Clippers over the Golden State Warriors. If you're not a Clippers fan, you might be able to get on the board on trying to see the Warriors get knocked off. Those guys do a great job, so make sure to go listen to them. But it's good to be back on the microphone, even if it is for a short appearance here. And that means it's a lot of exciting thing going around the Rams, the organization, and the NFL. Football's back, baby. We had the players show up for a non-mandatory workout session. We saw a lot of familiar faces come back. A few players missing, which Sean McVay said in his interviews. And we're going to play some interviews from Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald. We're going to hear from them today, kind of what they've been doing in the offseason, how they approach some of this. But it was awesome to see some of those guys back. McVay, as I mentioned before, I kind of went the other direction, mentioned that a few players were given the thumbs up not to come, that communicated with him that they weren't going to be able to make it. And he said that's the big thing for them is going to be the communication. And it sounds like everyone's on the same page there. So all good coming out of camp, but I was excited to see those boys back. And in fact, that's why I've got the boys are back in town for the intro song. Just got me excited. And for you longtime old school listeners, the boys are back in town was the first ever song that we used in Rams podcast about 4 years ago or whatever it was these days. So a little throwback for me as well, but I love that song and it really's got some meaning as I saw some of those guys walking into the facility the other day. They just finished up day two, tomorrow going into day three. And tomorrow is the release of the NFL schedule, 2019 schedule. Kind of got baited into believing that there was a leak. I saw a tweet that came out from NFL Schedule Leaks. That probably should have been my first hint. This is fake. And they said Thanksgiving games, Bears at Lions, Rams at Cowboys, and Seahawks at 49ers. And I was thinking, man, we always know the Lions play. The Bears are on the up and up. That sounds like a great Thanksgiving Day game. And then obviously, we've got the Cowboys this year on the road. It'd be awesome to see the Rams on Thanksgiving Day, get to get some football on Thanksgiving Day. But not only that, but to get to see our Rams. And then Seahawks 49ers, just another awesome divisional matchup in the NFC West. Would have been cool to see also three of the four teams from our division playing on that day. So hook, line, and sinker, I retweeted it, said I was excited. I hope this is true. You never know with leaks, but sometimes they end up being true. And later on the day, I see this is coming from the account. Well, this was fun. This account isn't actually real. I was just bored and wanted to hype some people up for the scheduled release tomorrow. I had zero followers when this account started. Now I'm at 6,000. Damn you. Got me. Got me good. So we'll have to wait till tomorrow. I believe it's 8 p.m. Eastern, making that about 5 p.m. Pacific. They will do a schedule release. We will talk about it next week. Obviously, won't be here Thursday or Friday for an episode, but I'll be back. We'll start kicking around the ideas of all these fun games. We're going to start to get some of those people on our schedule from around the Locked On Network. We're going to start talking to them. Looking forward to it. Aqib Talib today was quoted saying he wants the Saints week one. Just wants to get it over with. Let's match up. I want too much talk during the offseason. Wants to line up against the Saints. That would be a fun one. We'll break down the schedule and talk about all the great scenarios and how it plays out. But excited for that. The schedule release is always super fun. You can start to picture where you want to go and see these games on the road or some of the home games and start to actually visualize getting tickets and going to the game and just a fun time. And then right around the corner, obviously next week, is the NFL draft. Usually we have Jake from Downtown Rams, but he had about five interviews today. He was going to be recording to about midnight Eastern Standard Time. I said, bro, I ain't got that time today. I appreciate you and everything you do, but we will catch up with him next week as the draft is right around the corner and get his final thoughts leading up to the 2019 draft. And then one last piece of news. The Rams announced the other day they signed restricted free agents Blake Countess, as well as the exclusive rights to free agents Morgan Fox, Dominique Hatfield, Kadarryl Hodge, JoJo Natson, and Kevin Peterson. Remember, he's a DB. I believe he got hurt. Haven't seen much of him. He's been on the practice squad. But all those guys brought him back for one more year. Excited to see some of them. Kadarryl Hodge is a guy that showed some flashes, got some opportunities late in the year, super fast. Remember his preseason catch against the Oakland Raiders, I believe. He went up and got one. That was a great grab. So we know he's got some talent inside. As well as JoJo Natson solidifying him, most likely as the return man, unless something happens back there. We obviously know it's not going to be Cooper Kupp. Farrell Cooper from previous years is gone. JoJo Natson, besides a couple fumbles, a couple missteps last year, had pretty much a really great season filling in back at the kick return and punt return specialist. So excited to see those guys back. But what we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We're going to take a quick break. After that, we're going to be back. We're going to start talking about pitching around the NFL. I want to get you guys a little preview of that Locked On Network mock draft, give you a taste of what it sounds like and how it started with the two divisional opponents that we have. We'll continue to maybe play that next week leading up into the draft, give you a little bit more taste of it. But I encourage you to go listen to that Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. Hear the whole thing. It's an awesome episode. We bring in fantasy perspective. They kick it around to other experts in the draft as well as the local host. So great stuff. But what we're going to do is step aside, get a couple words from some of our sponsors. We'll be right back Wednesday with some Locked On Rams right after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back Wednesday edition. Your boy, Bear Motter, throwing it down for the one and only episode this week. I appreciate you guys. Offseason's been just madness. Trying to get on the mic as much as I can. Today, I had a limited amount of time, and I figured I got to get these guys something, or they're going to just hate me. But here we are, throwing it down. I'll be back next week. Got a couple guests lined up. And with that said, I want to pitch it over to Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers, who is one of the hosts of our mock draft, to give you a little taste of what the number one pick was like, and we'll take it from there.
Is it Rosen? Is it Murray? Is it Rosen and Murray? Let's go to the Locked On Cardinals War Room with Alex Clancy and Bo Brock for the number one pick in the 2019 Locked On Podcast Network NFL Mock Draft.
Cardinals draft room. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. We have a couple decisions to make here between three guys, really, but two in the top tier, Nick Bosa, Kyler Murray, and on the outside, Quinnen Williams looking in. Haven't really seen any trade offers that have piqued our interest, so this can go one of two ways. This will change the landscape of the franchise one way or another. Nick Bosa, surefire, you know, defensive edge rusher, number one overall, safe pick, right? That would be the safe choice for us.
He's the number one prospect in this draft, right?
Yeah.
A polished pass rusher. You couple him with Chandler Jones. You've got Darius Filon, Rodney Gunter. You've got Corey Peters.
Mm-hmm.
On that defensive line, you're making the switch to 34. You've got Nick Bosa's positional coach from Ohio State. He's now your linebacker coach for the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
It would just be a great fit in this 3-13 team from 2018 for the Arizona Cardinals that didn't have a strength, absolutely has a strength in, as far as getting after the quarterback. It'll be similar to what we saw last year as far as Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, the team that Vance Joseph, the new Cardinals defensive coordinator, was the head coach for.
But they didn't hire a defensive coordinator as head coach. They hired Cliff Kingsbury. So the other option is Kyler Murray would completely change the face of this organization. Josh Rosen would then probably be traded. We haven't decided on that yet if we're going to retain him. But Kyler Murray, the other way is they put up 14.1 points per game last year, which was last by a couple points. 2008 Detroit Lions went 0-16. They put up more points than the Cardinals did per game last year. Kyler Murray, electric, will put people in the seats. They'll put up more points. It'll be a more fast-paced offense, which would alleviate some stress for the defense if we choose to go with Kyler Murray instead.
And Kyler Murray seems to be Cliff Kingsbury's guy, right?
Right.
I mean, we have the video from his college days, Cliff Kingsbury's college days, as far as coaching Texas Tech, how he said he would take Kyler Murray number one overall. Now, they backtracked a little bit, but in the 24/7 news cycle that we live in, this thing is taking off. This Kyler Murray to the Arizona Cardinals hype train is at its peak right now. But I think we need to kind of step away, right? We need to put this thing in perspective. They took a quarterback 10th overall last draft in Josh Rosen. To me, Kyler Murray does not have number one overall talent.
Agreed. And Quinnen Williams, unfortunately, he may be the best to come out of this draft, but in the glaring needs that are necessary for the Arizona Cardinals to move forward, he's going to be on the outside looking in. So we're going to cut him out. And I think Bo and I have decided that the Arizona Cardinals, with the number one overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft, select defensive and edge rusher Nick Bosa from Ohio State.
Now, Nick Bosa is going to go from a hand in the dirt 34 defender to a guy that's standing up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem that he can't transition to that position, right? And he's going to be a guy that's going to be playing opposite Chandler Jones. They've kind of filled in the interior of that defensive line, some guys that can open up some lanes. A guy like Nick Bosa can just be an absolute nightmare for opposing offenses. And the Cardinals finally have a strength on this team that struggled in 2018. And I do like the idea that Josh Rosen is going to be the franchise quarterback that they tabbed in 2018 going forward.
Alex Clancy and Bo Brock checking in from the Arizona Cardinals draft room.
So there you have it. The boys over at Locked On Cardinals decide to pass up on all the trade opportunities that they had and took Nick Bosa, which you really can't be too mad at that, especially seeing the older Bosa brother tear it up here in Los Angeles. So adding him to the edge with Chandler Jones, 1-2 combo on the defense side of the ball. Like the boys talked about, they finally have something on that roster that they can look at and see it as an advantage going into most games. If he can play out to be that number one defensive player, like some think he will, it's kind of a no-brainer at number one, at least in my eyes. There's a couple other guys, and if there's no trade value to move up, go get Kyler Murray. You just drafted a quarterback last year. Stick with him. See what you can do with him. Can't blame him for that, but a lot of people in this draft were going, what? Kind of shook up the board a little bit with the number one overall pick. So what we're going to do is we're going to kick it over. San Francisco 49ers. We're going to jump back in to Locked On Mock Draft.
We're sending you right over to the 49ers draft room. They're going to make a pick at number two next.
And, you know, it is a shocker to some, but if you listen to the Locked On 49ers Winky Wednesday episode, you will know that I 100% guaranteed that the Cardinals would not draft Kyler Murray at the number one pick. So I love how this mock is going so far. They did take Nick Bosa. No surprise there. Probably one of the best talents in this draft. Guy I would have loved to have had on the 49ers. And if the 49ers can't have Nick Bosa and I'm drafting, then there's only one choice here at number two, and it's Quinnen Williams. I mean, you're talking about a defensive tackle that's just one of those guys that he could be a game changer. He could be the next Aaron Donald. He could be the next DeForest Buckner. He could be – he's quick. He's strong. He's got that lateral movement technique. And at this point in the draft, too, he's easily – the best player available. You line him up there with Buckner and Dee Ford, and you get like a combo of Armstead and Thomas out there, and you're looking at a pretty formidable defensive line there, and I really like how that would stack. So number two, 49ers select Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle, Alabama.
That was Nick Winkler sitting in for me, making the selection in the Locked On 49ers war room. And Nick comes on the show with me once per week, and I know that I must have influenced that decision somehow, and it's probably the pick I would have made. And I know his phone was ringing for trades, but the offer just was not there to move out of the number two spot and get one of the true blue chip players in this draft in Quinnen Williams. And really, on most people's draft boards, that's how it's ranked out. I think the consensus is Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, in some order, is the number one and number two overall players in this draft, non-quarterbacks in this draft. And that's how it goes here in the Locked On Podcast Network NFL Mock Draft. Nick Bosa going number one to the Arizona Cardinals, and now Quinnen Williams, who some people have as the best prospect in the draft. The closer we get to this thing, I think more people are on board with that idea. Quinnen Williams going number two overall to the 49ers. Matt, how do you like that pick?
Yeah, I mean, again, very safe. I could certainly make the case that he is the best player in this draft. I think it's becoming more clear in the NFL that interior pass rushers, you know, Aaron Donald, for example, have a little more value than the Von Millers and the edge guys of the world, just because it's a step or two shorter to get to the quarterback. And as quick as the ball comes out nowadays, having a really disruptive interior presence like Williams, I think, will be, is highly, highly valuable. It's just the problem here is the Niners just needed edge guys more than they needed interior guys. But I never fault a team for saying, I'm just going to take the best player on the board and we'll make it work and make a strength even stronger.
There you have it. 1-2 picks. Cardinals and Niners jumping into the draft, making things happen. We'll see if that's how it plays out. I think there's a lot of attention about Kyler Murray going one, shakes up things. If Bosa falls to two to the Niners, I know they'd be happy with that. But that's what makes this fun. The hosts run the show. The hosts run the mock. You never know where it's going to go. We had some trades. You'll have to wait for my segment late next week. Obviously, we know the Rams are picking at the end of the round. And I really love to see our two divisional opponents up fighting at 1-2. Means you guys pretty much sucked. But bring it next year. The year is always different. I wanted to give you guys a taste of that because I am absolutely loving hearing from these guys around the league and what they think is going to happen next week in the NFL draft. So make sure to check that out. Matt Williamson, Locked On NFL. I've been retweeting it all week. I'll continue to do so. Feel free to tweet at me. Let me know what you think of some of these picks. At Locked On Rams on Twitter, at @LA_RamblingBear. Also on Instagram and Facebook. Keep the comments coming. I really, really enjoy it. So what we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to go back to Rams focus, and I'm going to kind of play some of the interviews from the first day back, and we're going to hear from our guys, Sean McVay, Jared Goff, and Aaron Donald, right after this. Locked On Rams Wednesday. We'll be right back. All right, Rams Nation, we are back, third and final segment, Wednesday edition, your boy Bear breaking it down. Appreciate everyone that listens. Appreciate everyone for reviews on iTunes and Spotify and always giving me some love. So I appreciate for all the kind words that came through last week as I kind of opened up some of the things that's happening personally in my life. So I really, really do appreciate for all the thoughts and prayers and the kind words and DMs that I got from you guys. So very, very much appreciate that. And I really love doing this. So it's exciting to be back on the mic. I will be back again, like I said, next week, diving back into the things as we turn the page, looking directly down the line at the NFL draft. This time next week, we'll be talking about players. So excited for that. Before you know it, we'll be lining them up in the preseason. Well, not the Rams because they sit out the preseason. We'll hear from Jared Goff, kind of has some funny comments about that later. But we might as well start with the old ball coach, Sean McVay. We're going to listen to clips from him talking about AD being back in camp, how they're going to approach that. Talking about Todd Gurley, I think that's the biggest clip to pull out of the Sean McVay, asking about injuries. He wasn't really updating people, said, you know, they haven't really gone through that, but they've got a plan for Todd Gurley being the guy. So here's Sean McVay, his first thoughts coming back after the last time we heard him, right after the Super Bowl.
Aaron and I are going to meet today, and we're going to talk specifically about just, you know, laying out a plan for him. And we do that really with all of our players, Gary, but it is a little bit of a unique situation that's presented itself. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about him holding out or anything like that, but I do think we want to be mindful of, like you to be here, but understanding of some of the other things going on. So really, that's a conversation that Aaron and I are actually going to have later today and kind of really lay out those things. And I want to be able to hear, because he's got a plan. You know, he's so well thought out. He's got some things that have worked for him. And I think within the framework of being around your teammates, but also if you're doing some things, you know, you don't worry about Aaron working on his own and getting things done that are all geared towards getting us ready to play football whenever our opener is. And those are things that, you know, you always want to, you know, be understanding of. And really each situation kind of brings out its own individual approach, you know, with our players. And that's something that Aaron and I will talk about later.
Todd said that he was feeling pretty good at this time of year, had a lot of rest since the end of the season. How will you guys kind of monitor his workload going forward and then obviously plan on having a light training camp or preseason again?
Yeah, I think so, Omar. I mean, really, for us, it's about, you know, let's make sure that we take an intentional approach that's specific to, you know, each player, kind of like what we've talked about, and Todd is no different. I think that you will see us, you know, really, our goal is, over the elongated period of time, really until the first game, that's really the timetable that we're operating with. How does that specifically affect his workload throughout OTAs into training camp? Those are things that we're going to continue to just monitor his progress, see how he's feeling with that communication from both sides. But he's a guy that he's in a good place right now. He's feeling good. You know, I know it was good to get back in the building, and he's been here doing some things. So that's really something that, you know, as the off-season progresses, and then as we get into training camp, you know, he's a guy that we will continue to monitor, but it's like that with all of our players.
I know you mentioned at the end of last season that you really liked having Todd and CJ, kind of the two-back look. Is that something that you want to explore with Malcolm, or is it really just going to be Todd's show and Malcolm's just going to be going in to just kind of spell Todd when he needs to be spelled?
Yeah, you know, I think Todd has shown that he is capable of carrying the workload, and we have a lot of confidence in Malcolm. For us, you know, you want to be smart about that, but I think, you know, like we talked about the other day, Todd is a guy that's been a focal point of this offense. He's going to continue to be. Really, what resulted in that, you know, was because he was forced to miss some games at the end of the year, and we wanted to be smart just about managing that load. But Todd has shown that he can handle that. How we navigate through a season, it's hard to say, Lindsay, but we anticipate, like we said the other day, him being the focal point of our offense. And unless I'm told otherwise, he's a pretty versatile back, and that's, we're going to continue to utilize all his skill sets.
So there you have it, Sean McVay talking to the press the other day, first day back at the Rams facility. A couple things, really excited there. Have an AD around more. And I love that Sean McVay said they're going to have a sit down, which they had the other day, about how they're going to approach the offseason. Aaron Donald talks later, which we'll hear from him in a little bit. They talked about he does really, really good things away from the facility. He's not a guy he's worried about getting in work. But then again, he hasn't had a chance because of the contract talks in the last couple of years to be around the team. So having him around guys more, especially some of the younger guys, getting to able to learn from him. And as we add more pieces to that defensive line, getting able to be around those guys a little bit more, I think is going to be a huge benefit. I'm really excited to see. I mean, a guy away from camp put up 20 sacks, 20 and a half sacks last year. But the defense around him on the line struggled at times. So looking at him being around more and what it could actually do impact-wise on the field is kind of exciting to think about. We'll talk about that a little bit more throughout this offseason because he's going to be around more. And just that impact alone, what's it going to mean on the field? That's what I'm really curious about, and that's what I'm actually really excited about to talk about, how that impact can be seen. So he's going to be around, and I think it's nothing but a good thing for the Rams. But speaking of Mr. AD, let's hear from the man himself. He talks a little bit about not having to deal with the contract, And what are some of his goals throughout the offseason and getting ready for the 2019 season?
Talked with you on a Tuesday when you guys were cleaning out your lockers, and you said you're going to be back working out on Thursday. Is that how it really happened for you?
You could ask the shrimp coach if you don't believe me.
You really did it.
Yeah.
Sean was in here, and he was saying he was going to meet with you today to kind of talk about how you guys are going to approach the offseason. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously the last two seasons you've kind of got a program that works for you. So how do you see it kind of coming together, mixing, being here and doing your own thing?
Well, I got to still talk to coach, but, you know, I'm going to be here, probably be back and forth, but still got to get something, you know, sit down with coach and get something situated. So I'm going to be here, you know, got to be around my guys and, you know, grind with them, but, you know, still want to be back, you know, in Pittsburgh getting some work too, but still got to figure things out as far as talking to coach. So,
have you missed this aspect of things just over the last couple of years, being in here, getting that camaraderie just in the offseason?
Oh, for sure, 100%. You know, it feels good to be back, you know, at the beginning, with fresh start with the guys and, you know, here grinding with the guys on the field, you know, talking stuff, motivating guys. Me and the D-line got some extra work in the weight room today, so I have an opportunity to be there, work with the younger guys right away. So it's definitely going to help us a lot.
How does it feel to be at this point of the offseason without a contract situation hanging over your head? Having that done and being able to go into a season without that in front of your mind, back of your mind, or whatever?
Just good, you know, happy, excited. Just football now. I ain't got to worry about the business side as far as if it's going to get done or when it's going to get done. Just here grinding and trying to prepare to, you know, to play a season, you know. So here phase one and happy to be here today. So
Aaron Pitt announced that you made a sizable donation to their athletic department. What motivated you to do that, and what's it feel like to be able to, you know, do something like that?
It was something we talked about prior year, but, you know, we're just waiting for the right situation when things was done and I was able to do that. So to be able to do that, you know, get back to the university, you know, where I went, you know, they helped me mold me to who I am, to help the, you know, future football players there and things like that. It's a blessing, you know. I never expected or thought I could be able to opportunity to do something like that. So to be able to do that, help them guys, help the university, and at the same time, you know, they put my name on the building. It's like, it's surreal, you know. He showed me that, I almost cried. Like, you want to put my name on that building, really? So it's more of a dream come true. You're just not helping somebody, helping the university, helping the future football players, but, you know, you're leaving a legacy behind that's going to be there forever. So it's surreal.
So much fun hearing from these players, getting back and getting back with the boys. You hear a trend from not only him and Jared Goff, who we hear from next, and Todd Gurley, who also spoke, and Michael Brockers. Just getting back with the guys means a lot for these guys, especially coming after that loss, and Jared Goff will talk about that and how to get over it. It's tough when you just, there's nothing next. So these guys getting back together, really cool. And then I wanted to share that piece at the end because of the donation that Aaron Donald did to University of Pittsburgh. Really, really cool. Gets to get the name on the building. And for a guy that has more money than anybody on that team, to be as humble as he is about it and still be excited about, you know, like he said, they're putting your name on the building and that, how much that means to him. Really, really cool. Wanted to share that as well because these guys, especially like Aaron Donald, are doing amazing things, not only on the field, but off the field. So want to share that really cool stuff. And last but not least, QB number one. We're going to check in with Jared Goff as he kind of talks about getting over that Super Bowl, what it meant, and what his focuses are coming into the 2019 season.
How often, if at all, do you reflect on the Super Bowl? I mean, is that gone? Is that ended and everything looks forward? Or do you ever kind of look back, and good, bad, or otherwise?
Yeah, I think it's hard not to when there's not another game after that. You know, you feel like you're waiting for the next opportunity to, you know, mend that, and you really can't. So it is hard in that way. But at the same time, you know, I've reflected on it now for 2 months and feel good. I mean, it obviously didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but did everything we could, put our best foot forward, and you know, hopefully you learn from it and move forward. But you know, it was for where I'm at mentally, I feel like I'm past it, and days like today help getting past it, of course, where we're here with the guys, and you know, you're able to start moving forward in a different direction and towards a new goal.
What are some things that you want to work on just from an offensive standpoint, from a personal standpoint, maybe in this offseason program?
Personally, I think I talk about it all the time. I want to continue to get the completion percentage up and continue to drive that up. And I think it went up I actually can't. I can't know for sure. I don't know for sure right now, but I think I went up from this year to from last year, and hopefully continue to get that up. I think that translates to getting the ball in the guy's hands and taking care of the football. And when you do that, it normally leads to good things, and normally leads to wins. And so just continue to be accurate and work on all that. And then I think my feet is something I've always been huge on, is keeping my feet right. And when my feet are good, I'm usually in line and playing well.
Jared, you've had pretty much unprecedented consistency on the offensive line the last 2 years. Now you guys have to replace two of those key veterans who you've had there this whole time. How difficult is that, I guess, for you from your perspective, and just replacing those two guys? How tough is it for guys like Brian Allen, Joe Noboom to fill those shoes?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to replace them, but I expect those guys to step up. They're, you know, John and Roger, both good players for us, and unfortunately we don't have them. But, you know, a guy like Brian and Joe, I think, you know, you get drafted, and whenever they were both drafted, they believe the third and fourth round. We don't draft them to sit on the bench for 4 years and then let them walk away. You know, you draft them to hopefully have them play one day. And, you know, if there are chances now, you know, I'm excited for it and excited to grow with them, and especially with Brian, you know, moving forward, and, you know, excited to grow with them.
Sean told us at owners' meetings that he doesn't anticipate you guys are going to play in the preseason, the starters. Does that change anything, how you approach the offseason program or anything like that?
No. I think that's the way we did it last year, and it is kind of funny to look back at that and see how many people, I don't know if you were one of them or any of you guys, but how many people were saying it was such a bad idea. It was Gary. I'm sure it was Gary saying it was such a bad idea, and what are we doing, and this is ruining the NFL. And I think it worked out for us. You know, we came up a little bit short, but played pretty well, I think, last year. And so if that's the approach we take again, I think I'll be on board with it.
A lot of good stuff from Jared Goff there, as he covered kind of getting over the Super Bowl, being over it, ready to move forward, looking back and realizing last year was still a really, really big success for this team. Third year quarterback here, getting to the Super Bowl, bringing the team all the way that way, having a guy like Aaron Donald on the other side. And then the big part that I also wanted to keep in there was talking about that O-line and filling in those guys and what that means to him. And he said it best, man, we didn't draft these guys to have them sit here for 4 years and then have them leave. Like, we drafted them in hopes that they're going to be able to fit into this piece somehow along the way. We knowing that Whitworth was getting older and Saffold's contract was coming up, and how much would Sullivan still have in? So these guys were drafted with a purpose to come in and be able to contribute. And he has just as much faith, as we heard Sean McVay and Les Snead in this organization talk about in the last month or so in the offseason. So they may be a bigger piece than we kind of are playing on our side, because we know that that is the obvious choice there. But depending on how this draft goes, that kind of tells me that, you know, we're not going to be looking at O-line in the first round, that they feel pretty good about that. Yes, we'll probably add some depth throughout the draft, and maybe if one of those guys really falls to us there, maybe we do take them that early, but that they feel really confident with those guys moving forward. Also, his focuses as far as being more accurate and working on his feet, two things that I love, because I've always thought he's had really great presence in the pocket as far as shifting and sliding his feet. But when he throws off the wrong foot, we saw it in the Super Bowl, that last throw, that last interception, where he's kind of fading back. That's a key part in his footwork or in his decision making, or both of them put together, where that resulted in an interception or a turnover or a bad play. So those type of things coming in, trying to be more accurate, get the ball in their hands and let those playmakers do the work. Really good things for him as far as focus is moving forward. Well, guys, that's all I've got for you today. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you hanging with me with only one episode this week. We'll be back. We're going to start to reload this thing. Crank the episodes back up 3, 4, 5 a week. Get you some good guests. Get you some good people to talk to. We've got the draft around the corner. I'm going to take you back into some of these draft rooms throughout the NFL next week, across the board, as we start to release some of these more of these episodes. You guys, again, encourage you to go listen to it, Locked On NFL. They've got two of them up now, and we're going to continue to put these up this week. I will share some of them next week as well. But with that said, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time, peace.